Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Listening audience, you are tuned into Dare to Win, the Ulu Economic Empowerment Plan radio program. We are here every Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is where we have sober discussion of the systems and institutions necessary for real economic empowerment for our people. I am Sister Nanana, and I am one of the board members of Us Lifting Us, and I'm very pleased to have this opportunity to be with you this evening. We're going to be having a very lively and interesting discussion this evening. Our topic question is there sufficient cultural consciousness to support charitable giving in the Black community? Is there sufficient cultural consciousness to support charitable giving in the Black community? So we invite you to join the discussion as we explore this subject, and I'm sure other questions and topic areas may come up as well on tonight's program. So please stay tuned, stay with us, and we will be back with you in just about 2 minutes to start our discussion this evening. Thank you.
As the mighty Nile flows from the south at Lake Victoria, where Eve is called Lucy, northward to Egypt, where Moses went down to the get down. From the south to the north, yeah, moving up the right way. We are all that. And across the history of this vast continent of countries, the drum.
Let me sing on the mountain.
All right. Once again, welcome, welcome. And thank you for being with us this evening. This is Dare to Win, the Ulu Economic Empowerment Plan. The systems and institutions of the past have not worked. New models are required, and us lifting us is leading the way in building this new economic paradigm. It's not enough that we struggle. We must build and maintain ways and means that ensure our success, not only for ourselves, but for generations to come. As Ulu, we dare to win, and we think you dare to win as well because you've chosen to tune in and be with us this evening and have this discussion with us this evening. Once again, I'm Sister Nanana. I'm one of the board members of Us Lifting Us, and sharing the platform with me this evening is Brother Thurman, who's going to help guide us through that discussion. Brother Thurman, you want to greet the audience?
Yes, greetings, family. I'm so happy to be in your presence and also to be on the call with Sister Nanana.
All right. Thank you so much. And Brother Thurman is also a board member of Us Lifting Us. So always glad to have your wisdom and your knowledge. And I know you're going to be imparting some wise thoughts for us this evening and giving us some information that we can actually use. Once again, we're here every Thursday evening starting at 9 p.m. Eastern. And for those of you who are calling in and you would like to participate either by making a comment or asking a question, please dial in to 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And then press the number 1 on your phone keypad, and that will alert us that you would like to make a comment or ask a question, and we'll certainly make that opportunity available. For others who care to join us online, you can go to the Ulu website. That's www.usliftingus.com, usliftingus.com, and click on the Ulu Radio tab. Next, look for the link to click, which allows you to join us online, and you can be a part of our discussion that way as well. All right, Brother Thurman, let's go ahead and get right into the discussion. The subject that we are addressing tonight, the topic question, is there sufficient cultural consciousness to support charitable giving in the Black community? So, how would you respond to that, Brother Thurman? What's your thought around that particular question?
Well, I would say on the subject of charitable giving in the Black community, according to studies that have been done, that's quite a bit of charitable giving. The question is, when we bring in, it gets questionable, or we need to really take a real good, deep look when you bring in the concept of cultural consciousness, because the culture can be a culture of anyone, and we have to be very, very mindful of that. We are striving in our quest to be free economically and otherwise, that it's supporting our cause and our culture. And I think that some of the things that would be mentioned as we go forward tonight would suggest that if our focus is not with a cultural consciousness, I would suggest that the evidence shows, because the evidence would show that there's not sufficient cultural consciousness, and so therefore the charitable giving is not at the level that it can be and it should be.
Okay, I think I'm following you that that the charitable giving level within the communities of African descended people here is something that could be improved on. I hear you saying that. And I think it would be helpful for me and perhaps for some of those in the listening audience as well to have a little bit better understanding of what cultural consciousness is before we go any further. So can you give us some words around that so that we'll have a clear basis to start from? How would you define or what would you say about what cultural consciousness really is?
Well, to separate those two words first, such as culture, culture is something that first you must have the people. So the people create culture, which out of that produces many things of our life, family, spirituality, wellness, economics, education, history, labor law, politics, creativity, and quite a few other things that's involved with that. It's an ongoing process. Give some a word about consciousness. It's a thought pattern, which is to take our liberation movement seriously. Conscious, we are taking our movement seriously. It's not a plaything, nothing to be, you know, just relax and don't worry about it and let's just go eat and party and watch TV. It must be taken seriously. Our thinking, our behavior, all aspects of our life and community, such as self-image, politics, economics, child rearing, mate selection, our social behavior, our family structure, our dietary choices, everything in our overall lifestyle, just to name a few. And when we don't have a consciousness about our culture, then we're not having success. It's easy in the society that intentionally constantly attacking us to oppress us and oppress our minds and our thinking to take on the culture of others, and the result is that we are not achieving what we can when we have a cultural conscious. And so cultural consciousness, to put it together and to put it properly in our highest good, it would be an African-centered approach to a consistently righteous lifestyle. Part-time will not free us, and to take on this European concept version of culture, we will just continue to be oppressed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes, I hear you emphasizing the African-centeredness piece of it. That sounds to me like you're thinking that that's something that's absolutely vital. Is that correct?
Yes, it is absolutely vital. See, there's always in life, the universe, nature, there's got to be some center where you get the best results. And so it's just like the subject of spirituality. You stay spiritually centered. But when you get off your center, you're not getting the best results. And so when it comes to that African-centered in comparison to some other choices, it has historically, the evidence points out that we are not achieving success. African-centered, when we have a worldview, brothers have a worldview about sisters from the perspective of an African-centered, is quite different when we're off our center, and I could be rapping about some bees and whatever because I'm not on my center.
Okay. All right, I'm following you with that piece. That makes sense to me. And the charitable organization, once again, I think it's good to start out with clarity. And so what are charitable organizations? Can you help us to understand what that verbiage is about? What are charitable organizations?
Yes. Charitable organizations receive donations from individuals and institutions such as businesses and churches, and some are nonprofit, and which mean that they are not primarily focused on profit, and they are tax-exempt, and meaning they do not pay income tax on the money they receive. But to the charitable giving does not have to be a nonprofit. And historically, amongst our people, you know, that goes back hundreds and thousands of years, we gave, and it didn't have to be an organization. But you know, in this legal structure, you know, they often would be legalized as a nonprofit.
Okay,
and,
so these are. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. You go ahead with what you're going to say next.
I was just going to reiterate to make sure that I understood. I thought I heard you say that charitable organizations are typically nonprofits and they raise funds for various causes. Is that correct?
Yes, they
can receive donations. I think you mentioned individuals or churches. Okay.
Yes.
All right. And are they also tax exempt?
Yes, the nonprofits are tax exempt, yes.
Okay. All right. So those are the kinds of organizations that we're talking about. They're not focused on profit. They don't pay taxes. And whatever monies they receive are supposed to be sent out or used for a particular cause, and hopefully in the, you know, in our communities, we'd be able to identify specifically what those causes are. To me, that would be the ideal thing, that we would be giving to organizations that we know for sure are benefiting our people. Let me ask this, how does our cultural consciousness as a community, as communities of African descended people, how does that relate to financially supporting these organizations? You know, what's the, is there any data on that, or how do we know what that looks like in our communities?
Yes, there's some data, and I would say that when it comes to in our community, our donations, contributions to charity, I would say that it's divided. And on one side, there's contributions to charity that has, with regard to our community, little or no cultural consciousness. And then there's the side of donating that does have cultural consciousness. And on a large scale, I would say that, deal with some studies that's been done that's been published in the publications such as The Root and Reuters. And their findings is that up to two-thirds of African people in the U.S. donate to charity, with totals up to $11 billion a year. And some sources say that we as a people donate more than white people. Now, the question that we should be asking is which charities and how much of it reaches our communities. And if it's reaching our communities, it should be visible. And I would say that if you look at our communities, that a lot of that is not showing up. And just to give you an example, a few years ago, a charity collected into the hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably into the millions, based on severely damaging earthquake in Haiti. And they collected lots and lots of money from around the world. But the people in Haiti will tell you that what was collected that was supposed to be used to rebuild their communities, there was hardly any rebuilding done. But they collected an enormous amount of money. So that's just an example that you could just look that up about Haiti and the earthquakes that have happened more than once. And there was lots of money collected, but to look at the community and the people that were right there, they would say, well, where's the aid? Where did it go? They didn't see
mm-hmm.
building in comparison to the amount of money that was collected. And so we have to question, where's the money? And then the other thing is we have to question, why are we giving to charities that we don't own and control, and so we can't track the money sufficiently?
I see. Well, that certainly is a good question to ask. Why are we doing that when, in fact, perhaps we don't have the means of actually tracking that money to make sure that it does come full circle to our communities? And you mentioned a figure which to me is just staggering. It's mind-boggling. $11 billion dollars a year coming of communities of African descendant people going into charitable organizations, and yet we still obviously have so much need in our communities for the basics of food, clothing, shelter, health care. And so that does put a big question mark around, I judge, what's actually happening to all of that money. And also I believe you mentioned that there's some data that indicates that we are actually more active charitable givers than other ethnic communities. That,
yes,
to me, is interesting data as well, that seems to be a pattern for us, that even though we have we live at and below the poverty level for a majority of us, that somehow we manage to give to these charities, and yet we're not seeing the benefit of it. So that is a those are major gaps, I think, that need to be addressed. And once again, for our listening audience, if you'd like to participate in this discussion and give us your thoughts, your ideas, your opinions, or to ask a question, you can do so by calling 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789, and then press the number 1 on your keypad, and we will open the mic for you to be able to ask a question or to make a comment. And our subject this evening is around charitable organizations and whether or not there is sufficient cultural consciousness within our communities of Black descended people around this particular subject. Do we really know and understand what's going on with this whole process of charitable giving? We're going to take a quick music break here for just a couple of minutes, and we'll be back with you shortly to continue this subject. Thank you. Stay tuned and come back and be with us.
No matter what may come our way,
we are gonna make it all through.
We will. Every voice and say,
we are gonna make it all through.
So many before us had a heavy pride.
We're gonna
make it through. And for sake, maybe of the much sacrifice,
we are gonna make it all through.
All right. Thank you. Once again, this is Dare to Win, the Ulu Economic Empowerment Plan, Thursday night radio program. where we have a sober discussion of the systems and institutions necessary for real economic empowerment for our people. And I am Sister Nanana. I'm a member, a board member of Us Lifting Us. And I'm here this evening with Brother Thurman, who's also a board member. And we're having dialogue this evening around the whole subject of cultural consciousness within our communities as that relates to charitable giving. And are we really conscious about what we're doing when we're giving to charities and how that relates to or benefits or perhaps does not benefit our communities? So let's continue with that discussion, Brother Thurman, and take it to maybe another step in the dialogue. There are those who say that charitable giving should be strictly voluntary, that this is something that, you know, should not be solicited at all, and that it's something that people should just do if and when they feel like doing it, a totally voluntary act. So what are your thoughts around that, Brother Thurman? How do you feel about that?
Well, I would say that when we must continuously focus on this focus on cultural consciousness. And from a perspective of cultural consciousness nurtures giving, which would include voluntary giving. And historically, our people, whenever operating from a cultural consciousness, whenever there was a need in the community amongst the people, we voluntarily came forward and gave whatever we could, and it didn't require, somebody to be banging on your door or forcing you or requiring and coming up with a tax. And I take that would be the highest form of how we work together, because when we are focusing on a consciousness, things just flow. And when we've been distracted and have some other mindset, so it's in our nature to give. When we think and live free of self-hate and outside distractions, that's what we would do. The wisdom says that capitalism makes charity necessary because capitalism makes economic justice impossible. And so, during the 1955 to 1956 Montgomery bus boycott, nobody had to tell the people there was no organized, formal organization in place, you know, like a nonprofit, for example, that the people that were walking miles and could not go in places to eat because of the way they were being treated for boycotting the buses. But there were black people and sisters that got up early in the morning and prepared food and bagged it up, and would be standing on the sidewalk or on the street handing out bags of food to the people that were walking during this long period of this Montgomery bus boycott. It was voluntary, out of love, because we had community, a cultural consciousness.
Those are great examples that you have given, taking us back to examining the Montgomery bus boycotts and pointing out that as a prime example of how our cultural consciousness rises to the surface in certain situations, and that we demonstrate that we truly do understand when there's a need and we rise to meet that need. And I think I also heard you say that in situations when we are not bombarded with having to deal with all of the stresses of living within a capitalistic environment and the stresses of racism, that giving is something that comes natural to us, that that is a part of who we are. Okay, I think I see that we have a caller here that has a question or a comment, so I'm going to open the mic. 9783, would you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from?
Yes, greetings. This is Brother Sabaka calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Like to greet you all in the family. Good evening. I had a question. I have a question. As Brother Thurman was describing, particularly the situation in Haiti when they had the earthquake, and I guess some relief efforts supposedly went down there. And I'm sure that I remember during that same period of time of trying to solicit funds from Africans up here in the D.C. Baltimore area, and some of them gave right freely. Unfortunately, a lot of money went to the Red Cross. What effect, in your mind, has the imposition of this alien culture has on our ability to give that can constructively aid those entities or those disasters that it was meant to address? Can you hear me? Or do you understand my question?
Say that question again so I can make sure I get it.
Right. I'm saying with the imposition of an alien culture on people of African descent in this country, all right, what impact is our giving really being effectively received by from the donor organization to the population that is the most distressed? In other words, if we're giving towards Haiti and the Red Cross is that intermediary that is supposed to be dispersing the aid, what impact is our giving having on not really qualitatively addressing the problems that Haiti might have or any of these disaster areas or disasters that we find popping up throughout this country and the world?
I would say that based on examining the results of them collecting money, and we look at the results were not good. And so we can go to the news sources about Haiti, and the results is that the enormous amount of money that was collected, very little was done. And it's not unusual, and you mentioned alien, because, see, I have seen in other countries where an enormous amount of resources were brought to the people that were poor and needy, and a lot of it was immediately distributed to people that were not needy. And this has historically happened. And so we need to be very mindful about that. And so over and over, the message that's been forever is telling us that we need to be in control of our own resources, or else we will continuously be at the mercy of others.
And Brother Sabaka, if you don't mind, I'd like to add a comment or a response to your question as well.
Please do.
There are a couple. Yeah, thank you. There are a couple of things that I see in those types of situations. First of all, when you used a very appropriate term when you said alien. When these alien organizations step to the forefront and present themselves as being the avenue for directing relief to our people who are in a distressed situation, to me what that does is that it takes away from us the task that we should be performing. It puts us in a position whereby we are allowing someone else to take care of what we need to be taking care of. And which our past history tells us that we have full ability to do that, but we have been trained to the extent that we're looking for the Red Cross or we're looking for some other major organization to be the ones to step in rather than coming together in our communities, which is what we used to do, and saying, okay, now, what are we going to do to help, and how are we going to do it? So that takes away part of our strength and our pride and our actually our nature takes that away from us because that is part of who we are and what we should be doing. The other thing that I see happening in those situations is that when these alien organizations take over the and become the avenue providing the giving. The other thing I judge that happens is that the giving gets misdirected because they don't know our culture. They do not know our culture, so they don't understand how to go into Haiti. They don't understand how to go into places in South America or to Cuba or to whatever and to communicate or into the south side of Chicago for that matter and to be able to identify with and communicate with the people and to say, okay, what do you really need here? The best example I can think of is a situation that I was familiar with in Seattle, Washington when I was living there several years ago. And there's quite a large community of Native American people who live right outside of the city boundaries of Seattle. And I don't remember the exact circumstances, but some charitable organization decided that they were going to give all these people in this community, in this area, that they were going to give them brand new refrigerators and freezers. Now, the folks had not asked for these. They had not asked for these refrigerators and freezers. And as a matter of fact, a few days after the giving was done, there were some very negative comments in some of the newspapers because the Native American people had taken the refrigerators and freezers and set them outside. And pretty much indicated that they didn't want them. So to me, this is a prime example that says you don't know the culture. You don't know how to assess what the need is and that there was an assumption that everyone in that community needed a new refrigerator. So those are the kinds of things that I would point to that I say kind of go awry. And then, of course, the third thing is we really don't know what actually happens to all of that money. You know, a lot of that money that goes into some of these large charitable organizations, I think it's questionable as to actually whether it really gets to the people and how much of it is siphoned off in other ways. So those are my thoughts. And thank you so much, Brother Shabaka, for that question.
You're quite welcome. Could I follow up just slightly? How do you see ULU progressing to sort of identify and encourage, let's say, people that it influences, identify those charities which are meaningful? And what should, I guess, in your own perspective, what should the criteria be to ascertain what charities are basically helping out folks or what charities are out there exploiting and ripping them off? And then I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
All right, thank you. You don't have to hang up. We enjoy having you and appreciate your inquiries. Brother Thurman, did you want to respond to that question?
Yes, I would say that he said, you know, a key word, and that is identify, and that is something that is certainly in the agenda of ULU, because ULU is structured to contribute to charity and endowment, because in their financial affairs related to profits from their businesses, that a certain amount of the profits would be divided up to go in three or four different directions. But among them would be a percentage of the profits, you know, like 5% would be designated to go to charities. And it's clear to ULU that we do have to identify who it would be, and if necessary, you know, create some charities or create some charities that's not there. But there are more than ever black charities out there, including one called the United Black Fund. And so there are charities and there are sisters and brothers for sure across the country and around the world that's anxious and are demonstrating it and are doing things that shows results. They're doing it and it's showing results. And so ULU is already, it's in the agenda as we continue to build these Us Lifting Us member-owned and operated businesses to take a portion of the profits that would automatically be set aside for the subject of charity.
And if I could add just one thing to that, Brother Thurman, yeah, you're right on target in terms of the plan of Ujamaa cooperative, you know, family-based economics, that there is a portion of that plan that definitely indicates that there will be donations going to charities. I think it's also important to note that the ULU member owners who are in a particular geographic area where an ULU cooperative business is located, that they will have the opportunity to actually identify and select which charitable organization the funding will go to. And it's not going to be the same in every geographic area, because here, once again, people in the community know what's needed in their particular community. So I think it's important to acknowledge and to recognize that in developing the economic plan that ULU has put together, that has been taken into consideration, and that member owners in those geographic areas will have full opportunity to select the charitable organizations that 5% is going to go to, for sure. And thank you once again. Yes.
Yeah, I'd just like to add something. We our people must be wary, and using that word to investigate, to be very thoughtful in our evaluation of who, but ideally it should be owned and operated by our people. And so, for example, of something to be to take note of, this actually exists, and I call it a distraction. On Facebook, people have birthdays, and so they've not too long ago added that when you wanted to wish somebody a happy Earth Day, that something shows up that says, would you like to donate to a nonprofit? And it actually says, celebrate so-and-so and so-and-so by donating to a nonprofit of her or his birthday, and it says press the Get Started button. And if you press that button, what shows up is a long list. I don't know how long it is. It's a long list of charities. Now, when I looked at it, none of them were black-owned and operated. And so we'd have to, you know, get into another conversation to analyze these charities. But for example, it listed the American Cancer Society, the Alzheimer's Society, the American Lung Association, the Old Friends Senior Dog Sanctuary, Planned Parenthood, and many more. Now, some of us that are aware would just go by that list, including Planned Parenthood, and we say, what? Well, when you clicked on that button that says get started, when these organizations show up, it also lists names of people that have contributed. And I saw some names of some black folks that my mind said, what? So we are being distracted because of, by nature, we are a giving people. So that's why we were always loved, you know, even on the plantations, because by our nature, we are giving people. And so they could just put it out there to say, donate to the Lung Association, the Alzheimer's, the breast cancer, and on, and we just do it because we think we're doing a good thing, but we don't know where the money is going. And then if we got in a discussion about whether all of these organizations, like the American Cancer Society, is really needed, because there's been cures for cancer forever. And where is it? In nature, not in some drug. I'm done.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your heartfelt response to that question. And thank you once again, Brother Shabaka, for the question. And we're going to take a short music break right now for a minute or two, and then we'll be back to finish up our discussion on giving and charitable organizations. All right, we're back with you once again. Dare to Win, the Ulu Economic Empowerment Plan, and we have Brother Thurman with us this evening, who's helping to guide us through a discussion on what is the process that we are going through right now concerning charitable giving in our communities, and whether or not there is adequate cultural consciousness around that particular process and what we're doing. So, you know, Brother Thurman, we've looked at this from several different perspectives, and there's one that I think that is of particular interest. I heard you mention a few minutes ago about capitalism and how capitalism by nature creates situations where people are distressed and people are in need. And so the question that comes up for me right now is, you know, I think there's a lot of disillusionment going on with what we might call the American dream, you know, moving from poverty to riches. And I'd just like to know your perspective on where you see this whole capitalistic system leading to, and how you see that relating to our developing and showing our cultural consciousness related to giving. Could you respond to that?
Yes, I'll try. The capitalism, number one, to make it short, is anti-us. And in all subject areas, we need to be mindful of what's in our greater good and what's anti-us. Capitalism is brutal, mean, it's dominating. It does all kinds of horrible things, including lots of money is made off of wars. And it's not the model for us. It's just like, eating chitlins. That's not the model for us to be well. And if we do it, we suffer very badly, which our people are that engage in those things. And we're suffering with capitalism. And capitalism is kind of like, you know, the dog chasing his tail. You know, he'd never catch it. But the model that we need to embrace is a model that our ancestors followed by. And bringing that cultural consciousness again, it's about caring. And so the Ulu model is using the cooperative model, you know, which is not something new, something that our people have been doing forever, but it's got embedded in it a consciousness, a cooperation. And that is the model that we must use. And it also is going to have so many advantages, including the fact that we are operating businesses of our own, that we can provide jobs. We can, tell our babies and our little children, look, you don't have to worry about going through this scramble, you know, going out in the workplace and being harassed about your hair and whatever, because we've got businesses of our own. And so we'll create jobs, dramatically reduce the unemployment. When we create the jobs, reduce the unemployment, also help to raise up self-esteem. We're going to reduce other things as a result of stress, including violence. And we can do that. And so what do we need? We need to embrace this laid-out plan that's already in place, that us lifting us, that originally a few sisters and brothers came together as a study group and put down these processes for us to follow. And it's there. And so we just need to come forth. And we have over 500 plus sisters and brothers that do have a cultural consciousness that have come forth, 500 across the U.S., throughout Africa, parts of Europe and Asia and South America, Caribbean included. And the sooner that more of us come forward, the more businesses that we can operate and the more that we can do to take our rightful place as people and build powerful economic institutions and not just leave a legacy for future babies, leave multiple legacies for many, many generations.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. You said that very well and very succinctly, and I really appreciate that. And basically what that says to me is that Ulu has the exact plan, the precise plan, and that the Ulu plan does work and is working and will continue to work in the future to create the economic stability and progress that we need in our communities of African descendant people. So I really appreciate your thoughts and putting that out there. And as we're starting to wind down now, I want to mention that we have, and when I say we, I'm meaning Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, LLC, that we have in place right now a actual working model of cooperative economics and what that looks like, and seeing how it works in real life. And that's Cafe Ulu. Cafe Ulu in Atlanta, Georgia, at 2036 Sylvan Road. Cafe Ulu is a model of the Ujamaa, the family-centered economic plan, where all of the employees in Cafe Ulu are members or member owners of Ulu, where we are keeping track of dollars that come into Cafe Ulu and making sure that the dollars that are expended with any of the products, services, and other things going out of Cafe Ulu, that is all exchanged within our community. So we have an actual working model of how the Ulu Cooperative Economic Plan works. And Cafe Ulu is going to be progressing in the future. We probably will be opening more of these coffee and networking lounges, as well as many other types of businesses in many different areas, be it technology, agriculture, you know, all across the board, because Ulu is growing and prospering and will continue to grow and prosper. And on that note as well, I want to encourage and invite all Ulu members and member owners to attend the 2019 Ulu Annual Members Meeting and Convention that's being held in Atlanta, Georgia. This is held every year. It's going to be starting on March 15th with a meet and greet, which will be held at Cafe Ulu at 2036 Sylvan Road. And then on the 16th and the 17th, we will be having our convention where we will be giving the members who are attending an opportunity to actually roll up their sleeves and do some work in terms of putting together plans and initiatives for Ulu to move forward with business ventures in the future. So, you know, we're progressing, we're moving forward, and we're continuing to be successful in Ulu. And before we end, Brother Thurman, do you have any closing remarks that you would like to say for our listening audience?
Yes, I'd like to, number one, thank all of the listening audience that's being heard around the world, including and also thankful to you, Sister Nanana, for being with us and hosting the show very, very well. And thanking Brother Shabaka that called in, and everybody that's listening and taking notes, and say that our situation is very, very serious. What's going on in the world are indicators that's reminding us all the time how serious it is. It's a state of emergency, and we got to get busy to prepare ourselves to be in survival mode and have survival strategies, and us lifting us and building strong economics is part of our survival strategy that we must have. And if we don't, we'll just be out there dangling along at the mercy of others, and that's not acceptable. And the ancestors that gave so much for us thousands of years ago and coming forward, they are looking for us to rise up and be and get back in our right mind with a cultural consciousness and join organizations like Us Lifting Us. Pass the word, and we're here every Thursday. And make sure that if you have not done it, anybody that haven't done it, that you go to the website, usliftingus.com, usliftingus.com. And if you need to contact us or email us or call us, it's on the website. You'll be able to find that information. And we thank you so much for being here. And we've got to get busy, and we've got to stay busy. We do not have time to play. And people that talk about retirement, Robert Mugabe said, we don't have time for retirement. And he said, even when we are ancestors, our plight is so serious, we don't have time to retire. So the spirit of Harriet Tubman and Marcus Garvey and lots of others, do you think that they're somewhere, wherever, just with the feet up, or they're saying, I'm still there supporting you all, and we're looking for you all to do what we did, and that is to stay, to be busy doing the work to liberate our people? Thank you all so much for being on the call tonight.
And thank you, Brother Thurman. We certainly appreciate you and invite everyone back to join us again next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time for Dare to Win. And we dare to win. ULU, we are the economic empowerment plan of the future. Thank you so much. See you again next week. Bye-bye.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out